So, sometimes we might look at these disciples, the disciples that we read about in the Bible, and think that they're quite special. We name churches after them, don't we? We read about their adventures each week in church. But the fact is that they were normal people like us. They make mistakes as they try to do their best for Jesus. But the change that Jesus is making in them is really starting to show in the book of Acts. Look at us, Peter says to the lame man. I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. He's talking about something that he can offer this man that is much more valuable than currency. Peter is serving this lame man through healing, but most importantly, he's serving by sharing in the love and power of Jesus. At any rate, here was this man waiting at the gate of the temple. And the striking thing about this is that when he asked Peter for money, Peter stopped and he said, "Look at us." This is really important because this is right in line with the activities of Jesus. Whenever he wanted to heal anyone, he would first direct attention to himself. He wouldn't just ramble up to somebody, touch them, and then disappear again. He always captivated the attention of the individuals that he wanted to heal. He directed them to focus their gaze on him. And this is what's happening here. This man expected to receive something from Peter and John. He didn't know what he was going to get, though obviously he was thinking a bit of cash would be nice, I'm sure. But his faith was quickened by Peter's words. And this is very necessary in order to receive anything from God. It's all about expectation, to expect healing, to expect a miracle, to expect a blessing. So they're carrying out Jesus' ministry, teaching and healing. And along the way, God is working miracles to accompany their ministry so that the people will believe as the church trickles out, growing across the world. So this man was the one everyone saw over and over again out in front of the temple. This was the one people felt sorry for but rarely ever did something for. This was the man that when the worshippers saw him, crossed over to the other side. This was the one who would at best receive a small coin or two, but really little or nothing else. This was the man who had written off any hope of ever having a life any different than what he was currently living. Perhaps that sense of hope was drifting away. But he was touched by God. He'd given faith and healed. He would be never the same again. And we read, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up he stood. God repaired his deformed legs, gave them strength, and taught him to walk. And we read, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. They realized that when they came into the temple, they walked past him and recognized him as the man who was always laid their hope for a coin. Now he's jumping, now he's running, he's standing tall and giving God all the credit and the glory. Perhaps we had better listen to Peter and John. Are we expecting miracles? Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to say, "Look at us," to the world? To be continued. So let's continue in the adventure. If you want to follow on, I'll be reading from Acts chapter 3, from verse 11, which can be found on Pew Bibles, page 1095. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the Author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he'd foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And your heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, this lame man that was healed by Jesus through Peter and John had some pretty good news that day. I bet he was speaking to people everywhere and for a long old time, telling them about how he was healed from lameness to jumping for joy. And in this passage that we've just shared, Peter does a good job of speaking to people too about the wonder of Jesus. But if you're anything like me, then you recognise that we could all use some instruction on how to proclaim the gospel when God offers up those opportunities to us. Peter's second sermon in Acts gives us some help. God had just used Peter and John to heal a man who'd been lame from birth. And here are a few markers from Peter that can guide us when speaking to people about Jesus. Four little reminders to take away with you. Number one, who is Jesus? The first thing that we've got to do is tell people who he is. It might sound a bit obvious, but just like Peter, we live in a world where there are plenty of prophets, philosophers, celebrities, and leaders out there. And we can take or leave some of the things that they say, but Jesus is different from all of them. We take all of what Jesus said and did for us, and we say to the world, as one Roman soldier said at the foot of a cross, "Truly, this man was the Son of God," and that a real personal relationship with Jesus is available to all of us today. Number two, it wasn't me. Peter begins his sermon by deflecting the glory for the miracle away from John and him, as if they had either the power or piety to make a lame man walk. If God uses us to bring physical healing to another person or to lead that person to a saving faith in Jesus, it's not because of anything in us. We're the clay vessels, and a blessing and an honour that is, but we're the pottery that God uses for his purposes. To take any credit for anything that God does through us is to rob him of the glory. As Paul tells us and speaks to the Corinthians, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So if someone praises you for something that you've done, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. The person means it as an encouragement, and that's positive. So it's proper to thank and share in kind words. But if it goes on and on, then there's a danger of robbing God of the glory. So perhaps thank you for the encouragement, but the Lord should get all the glory. He alone enable me to speak with you. Point number three, tell them what he did. A man walks into a jeweller's shop to buy a present for his girlfriend. And on seeing the crucifix necklaces, he turns to the assistant and says, "Oh, these are nice, but have you got one with the little man on?" That's a true story. Have you got one with the little man on? We live in a world that doesn't know the amazing things that Jesus did for us. We can't expect either the world to fully understand what we can't fully understand ourselves. But we know and we share that Jesus died for our sins and restored our relationship with the Father. Like that crowd in front of Pilate's palace, we get to choose which Jesus is released into our lives. Jesus bar Joseph, Jesus son of Joseph, or Jesus bar Abbas, Jesus son of Abbas. So we can have a heavenly kingdom, Jesus, in our lives, or we can have a worldly kingdom, Jesus, in our lives. We need to tell people who Jesus really was and what he did for us all, what he continues to do today. And number four, and certainly not least, he loves you. Whether the person you're talking to has ever even heard of Jesus, the fact that every single person ever born is loved by God as any loving parent loves a child. We're precious to God, and the plan God has for each of us is a life of grace and generosity. In a world so often filled with cruelty and hatred, division, unkindness and ignorance, we all need to know that the God of creation is the God of love. Life will be a struggle in many ways, but a life with God is a life transformed. People need to know that. So let's offer God's grace and forgiveness to everyone. And whether God uses your witness to save 2,000, as he did with Peter and his sermon, or maybe it's just one person, one encounter, one blessing. Amen.